and welcome to the Daily Info Oxcast. It's your weekly audio roundup of all our favourite events happening in and around Oxford.
This week there is so much cinema happening in Oxford and I will be rounding it all up for you.
I'm going to be talking about arguments, a table and women's history. But to kick us off, we have got Jen in to talk about the Ours New Writing Festival.
Yes, the Ours New Writing Festival is an annual event, happens in the 7th week of the spring Hillary term. So, it's a festival and a competition. I think the first stage is that plays are submitted to Ours, and then they choose the best four of the scripts that they get to be made into productions, and then the final stage of the competition, those four compete against each other. So they're all new plays, written by students. Apparently, they normally get sort of about 20 entries per year. I'm astonished that 20 new plays are being produced by students every year. I don't know how they get the time, but they're a really good bunch. And it's a festival I really look forward to. I think it's the high spot of the student drama calendar, to be honest, because it's got the most inventiveness and the feeling that there are most new ideas knocking around. And so even if the plays aren't completely polished and, you know, they're not sort of high budget, high... There's no money spent on the set or anything like that.
Definitely.
Yeah. And because it's four plays in 1 week, normally there's sort of minimal sets at the BT because they've all got to swap round each night. Now there's four instead of two in the same week. I don't know where they store all this stuff. So far we have had Polly and Lover's Suicide. So they're on Tuesday night and then again Thursday and Saturday evening.
And you saw them last night, haven't you?
I saw them last night. They're great. Polly is about a marriage disintegrating. And this is quite well-trodden territory for plays. Seen this sort of thing before. But the twist here is that the parents are trying to get their daughter into a Catholic school. So they've got the Catholic priest round for dinner in order to try and sweet talk him. So the marriage disintegration is being watched by this poor chap who's stuck in the middle. And there's some lovely sort of comedy playing off that sort of hideous politeness. Lover's Suicide is about two people who meet in a suicide support group and fall in love, and perhaps they're not the best for each other. But that was very hard-hitting, but also very funny. They've got a good balance of both of them, of drama and comedy.
And then what's on tonight, and then Friday and Saturday matinee?
Yeah, so tonight we have Man Who Loses and Love Plus. Man Who Loses, Harold is ill, Harold is lonely, Harold is a convert to Christ's flock, no one has figured it out. So they all have quite enigmatic strap lines. Yes. Basically, you have to see them, I think.
As long as it's not more strap line than substance.
No, there's usually minimal strap line and lots of substance, I mean. Love Plus is described as a video game for creating your perfect virtual girlfriend has come closer to reality. So I'm expecting some laughs in that one. Yes, so Polly and Lover's Suicide are on Thursday night and again Saturday night. Man Who Loses and Love Plus are on Wednesday night, Friday night, and then Saturday during the afternoon. So you can see all four of them on Saturday. I'd recommend seeing at least two that happen the same evening, because then you can begin to get a sort of feeling of investment in the competition, know who you're going to back, compare and contrast. And also, if you go see two the same night, I think you just get time for dinner in between. Perfect. Lost Green. It's a great evening. I'd say really good introduction to student drama. You'll see some pretty crazy things. It's good.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
And I see you've got some more theatre?
Yes, tonight and tomorrow at the North Wall, Theatre Alibi, who are a brilliant touring company. They've been working since the 1980s. They are bringing Hammer and Tongues to the North Wall. They were last seen in Oxford about this time last year with their adaptation of Dickens's The Curiosity Shop, and the year before that it was The Crow Starver.
Hammer and Tongues or Hammer and Tongues?
Hammer and Tongues. I think it's a play on the Hammer and Tongues usual. And their latest offering is a show about squabbles and arguments. It's funny, it's physical, it's absurd, but it's also moving. And it's been described as having quarrelling, bickering, domestics, snipes and rows. Every kind of argument is covered. It's a little bit more left field than their usual stuff. They normally do text-based adaptations, but they've been going for over 30 years and they know how to create a really good piece of theatre. They incorporate things like projection and puppetry and music really seamlessly. And they're at the very start of their tour for this show. So this is only their second stop after opening in Exeter, which is where they're based. and they're storytelling giants. I've seen the last two shows in Oxford and really, really enjoyed them. Really memorable, really well-constructed shows. They are at the North Wall tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. That's Wednesday the 5th and Thursday the 6th of March.
Well, tomorrow night as well, I've got an amazing gig. It's at the O2 Academy. We are scientists. Don't know if anyone remembers them from a few years ago. I think the Inner Fangirl and Me is coming out again. I was a big fan. They're New York indie rock band. Chris Kane, Andy Burrows, who was in Razorlight, and Keith Murray with his dashing shock of silver hair.
He's quite a looker.
He is. They've got great stage presence as well. I've seen them a couple of times. Such great banter and interaction with the crowd. And when I last saw them, they did an absolute monster set as well. You really get your value for money. They've got a new album out, TV en Français, and it's supposed to be really good, apparently better than the last one. And
how could it be?
I know. Support from Superfood and The Heartbreaks, and that's tomorrow, Thursday the 6th, 7 p.m, £17.
Lots of fangirling to
yeah.
Also tomorrow, it's World Book Day, which is a celebration of authors, illustrators, books and readings. There are surprisingly few events in Oxford to celebrate. I think normally World Book Day is left to schools.
You get those vouchers in schools. So you can...
And you dress up as a character from a book, and it's good fun. But it's not just for kids. And of course, the Bodleian do have something to mark the day. They will be celebrating the Book of Curiosities, which is an 11th century Arabic account of heaven and earth with illustrated maps and diagrams. And the book's going to be on display from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Divinity School, and from 5 till 6:30 p.m. in the Proscolium. Then, from 5:15 to 6 p.m, there's a presentation of a different book called An 11th Century Egyptian Guide to the Universe, which is basically a modern, annotated, translated version of the Book of Curiosities.
Oh, cool.
So you get to see the old book and see all the inspiration source, and then the talk is on this kind of new version of it, which makes it a lot more accessible. And during the talk, the authors, Emily Savage-Smith and Yosef Rapoport, will be talking about how they edited and translated the original medieval Arabic text. And then there's a reception and a chance to have a look at their book and potentially buy it. So you can see the Book of Curiosities itself from 10 a.m, and then 5:15 is the start of the talk on this new version. And in honour of World Book Day, we also wanted to highlight a couple of brilliant secondhand bookshops in Oxford.
Yes.
The Oxfam bookshops. There's one on St Giles and one on Charles Street. There's other Oxfam shops, but these ones are kind of specifically for books. The Charles Street one has a wide selection of modern fiction and also some collectibles. And the St Giles one, which is on two stories, is a great underground bit, has really great academic texts and foreign language texts. It was actually the first Oxfam bookshop to open in Oxford.
Really?
And opened in 1987. So if you want to celebrate World Book Day, you could dress up as your favourite character from a book, which I highly advise, but you could also check out these lovely secondhand bookstores on St Giles and on Tower Street.
It's so much fun just looking to see all the stuff that's in there. Like, you don't know what you're going to find ever, and it's always good value and pre-loved.
Exactly. And you can surprise yourself and surprise other people. It's definitely a good source for an afternoon of browsing, especially if it's a bit rainy.
Yeah, well, I've got some more theatre. This is out in Chipping Norton. This has started already, actually, and it's running until the 12th of March. Alarms and Excursions. The title comes from Shakespeare's famous stage direction, and it's used in the battle scenes. So basically, lots of people running around and shouting to make chaos and battle and riots or whatever.
Because it's a farce, isn't it?
So yeah.
It's just basically mayhem upon mayhem upon mayhem.
It is just lots of alarms and lots of excursions. And so it's expanded to a full-length play, and our reviewer went along on opening night, and she really enjoyed it. Heather Kay said that sound technician Fergus Nimmo was like a fifth member of the perfectly orchestrated cast. To work, the timing had to be absolutely right, and it was. They had the whole audience in stitches. In short, this excellent production gave us an evening helpless with mirth in the theatre, but with plenty of food for philosophical reflection on the way home. And she really enjoyed it. I think it's really neatly and professionally produced, and it's running for quite a long time, so you've got a lot of chance to see it. That's at Chipping Norton Theatre, running until the 12th of March, Alarms and Excursions.
A good night out at the theatre.
Yeah.
Michael Frayn doing his best. On Friday night, Lucy Porter is touring her last fringe show, Northern Soul, and coming to the Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot. And Northern Soul is actually quite a personal show. It's about her affinity with the North, despite being born and raised in Croydon. She lived in Manchester for a while and had kind of various relatives in Northern Ireland. And she shares lots of anecdotes about her parents and her marriage, her children, and her comedy is really honest and engaging. It sounds like a really personal piece. You might have seen Lucy Porter on lots of panel shows. Now that the BBC are always going to have a woman on a panel show, she might be on many, many more. You probably won't come out of this show with any more knowledge about the North-South divide. It's not political or historical. It's much more about cosiness. It's rambly. It's an enjoyable evening. She's a delightful comedian. She engages brilliantly with the audience. So Lucy Porter's Northern Soul is at the Cornerstone on Friday evening at 8 p.m. But if you miss her in Didcot, she is going to be at the Glee Club in Oxford less than a week afterwards on Thursday the 13th of March. So you can try and catch her there as well.
Cool. Well, I've actually got some sad news for my next event that I had planned. I'm planning for ages. Torbids, when all of the university colleges pit their 8 boats against each other, has had to be sadly cancelled. It's usually held this week every year, and then there's the Bumps as well in May, which is the same sort of event, but obviously the river's too high, so it's had to be cancelled. But I've got some other sport instead for you. So this is Oxford Women in Sport, and there's an event happening on the 8th of March for International Women's Day. It's the second weekend of the Oxbridge Varsity Games. So there's going to be the varsity rugby match, women's varsity rugby match, kick off at 2 o'clock on Iffley Road. Big, big contest. Mm. Then afterwards it's going to be Oxford's reception and varsity after party from 7:30 at the rugby club. And they're going to have guest speakers there and an exhibition tracking the progression of women's sport in Oxford University and in Oxford generally. And I went along to the GB women's bronze medal winning hockey team playing the Oxford University men the other day, and it was a really good event. Lots of people there, and it was a really good contest. So there's clearly a lot of market for this kind of stuff. If you're also interested in that, on Thursday the 13th, there's going to be Oxford University women's football team are going to be playing Oxford United women's football team, again at Iffley Road from 7 Brilliant. O'clock. So it's
Town and Gown.
Exactly, Town and Gown contest. And the men are going to be playing the Oxford United second team as well. So loads of sport going on, and it's all for International Women's Day, which we've got more on.
Yes, so the International Women's Festival runs every year in Oxford. It's its 25th birthday this year, and it's running over the next 2 weeks. We've each picked out a couple of events to mark the festival. Next Tuesday, the 11th of March, there is a play at Ruskin College as part of the Oxford International Women's Festival. It's called Emily, The Making of a Militant Suffragette. I saw this play last year at the BT Studio, though then it was called Emily Wilding Davison, The One Who Threw Herself Under the Horse. Mm. It's a bit more graphic. It's a one-woman show with actress Elizabeth Carrera, who does a brilliant job portraying Emily from a young, aspirational girl to then her quite early death at the Epsom Derby. And the show picks out some of her more eccentric moments, as well as kind of discovering her upbringing and her parents and her relationship to activism and the suffragette movement. But one of the great tidbits of information you find out is how on the night of the 1911 census, she hid in a cupboard in the Palace of Westminster overnight so that, on the census form, she could legitimately give her place of residence that night as the House of Commons.
Such a badass.
She was hilarious. She was very, very eccentric, and you get to meet her really well in this show. But there is also some really graphic force-feeding scenes, and it's just this one woman on stage, but she makes you feel very uncomfortable. But that's very powerful stuff. Tickets cost £7.50, and you can buy them from the Pegasus box office and website. And the show is at the Ruskin College on Tuesday the 11th of March at 6 p.m, and I really strongly recommend it. And Orla, what did you pick out from the festival programme?
Well, what's so good is that it's such a varied programme, and I've got a talk. This is titled, What Has the EU Ever Done for Women? And it's going to be by Simonetta Manfredi, who's a professor at Oxford Brookes and is director of the Centre for Diversity Policy Research and Practice. And it'll be talking about some of the work and policy that's come out of the European institutions and the direction in which all the research is going. It's actually really interesting. I mean, there was an article on BBC News today that mentioned that a third of all women in the EU have experienced physical or sexual violence that are over the age of 15. So there's obviously a huge amount of important work that needs to be done, and the EU really have a central role in being able to try and shape policy decisions. So that's at Mansfield College on Thursday the 6th at 6 p.m. But yeah, what's your next event?
On Friday night, it's the annual Reclaim the Night March, which is part of the International Women's Festival, but also an independent event with independent organisers. And it's starting from the East Oxford Community Centre and heading towards the Town Hall. And the march itself is a protest against sexual harassment, violence and rape, and it's actually been happening internationally since the 1970s. The event starts at 6:30 p.m, and that's with speeches and music, and this is a kind of rally, and men and women are invited to this, but then it's only self-identifying women who will go out on the march, so that's women and transgender women. And the march will end at the Oxford International Women's Festival main major event in the Town Hall, which is organised by BK Luo, which is a women's group based in Cowley. And at this gathering, there is singing, poetry, music, dance, storytelling, refreshments, kind of a big celebration of it all for then the next couple of weeks of events. So that's Reclaim the Night, starting at 6:30 p.m, and that's on Friday night, just ahead of International Women's Day.
Well, I promised at the top of the podcast that I would have lots of cinema, and here's my first bit. This is also part of Oxford International Women's Festival. Nine Story Mountain is a documentary that follows three Western researchers as they explore Tibetan pilgrimage practices. and it's going to be at the Phoenix on Friday the 7th of March at 6:30. It's going to be followed by a Q&A with director Augusta Thompson, and it's also part of an independent documentary film festival comprising films from female filmmakers, which is on all week at the Phoenix. So this is just one of the ones that I've picked, but there are loads of other documentaries that are being supported by the Phoenix and that are also under the Oxford International Women's Festival as well. But from that festival to another, Oxford Fashion Week started on Monday. This is quite a different thing altogether, but I caught up with Carl Anglin, the director of the Fashion Week, and I spoke to him at the launch party.
So you must be super excited about the whole festival coming together. I want to know how much organisation goes into it.
I think a lot more organisation goes into what might seem like a group of people walking up and down at the end of the day. What's particularly exciting about tonight's launch, it's probably the only time we might be able to get a photo of the team, the models and partners in the same place at the same time, and that'll be around 100 people, I think.
So some of your highlights for the coming week?
Highlights? Oh gosh, there's so many of them. Tonight's launch is fantastic, bringing everyone together. Tomorrow's exhibition and then the High Street show. When we get to Wednesday, we've got Abby Chisholm, who's a former editor of Vogue.com, coming to ask the question, who made your clothes? So they're an ethical focus. When we hit Thursday, things start to hot up on that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those are our four big headlining shows. Thursday's lingerie at Malmaison. There's going to be a snake involved. That's kind of our little secret that I'm telling you for the first time. That's all been finalised today. Yeah, prepare for a little slithery friend at the start. Then Friday, the Cosmopolitan show at the Randolph. That's sort of our most established brand show under those chandeliers at the Randolph Hotel. Lots of candy, lots of lollipops. It's going to be quite a sweet event. The Saturday is our concept show in the same location, but we're going to be transforming that Randolph Ballroom into a jungle. There's a few garden centres on standby, and it'll be fantastic to see how that comes together. And then brings us to Sunday. And Sunday really is the big heavyweight highlight of the week. The atrium in Malmaison, not so long ago, was actually a prison corridor. You know, we're talking 10 years or so. This is the first time an event like this has been put on in that space. So it is a spectacular space that's gone through a transformation, and we're going to be reflecting that in the couture show itself.
And it seems to be growing every year. Are you now starting to think about next year already?
Funny you should ask that. Well, we're not quite thinking about next year. We're still thinking about this year. The exciting prospect for Oxford Fashion Week right now, if everything goes the way we want it to go, is we'll start doing it twice a year. So our next season is November 2014.
So you're going to have autumn, winter, spring, summer?
Correct.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Carl.
So I think Carl gave a pretty good rundown of all the events there.
He knows how to do a pitch.
He does.
A great elevator pitch right there.
If you can't get to any of the one-off events, there's an exhibition of photography and sculpture running all week at the O3 Gallery in the Castle as part of Oxford Fashion Week.
So there are so many festivals this week. There's International Women's Festival, there's the Documentary Festival, there's Oxford Fashion Week, and Dance in Oxford continues. It started last Friday and it ends this Sunday. We spoke to director Claire Thompson in our Oxcast last week, and you can listen to our Oxcast Extra for the full interview if you want to find out more about the journey of the festival over the last 8 years and some more details on a couple of the events, as well as an idea of where it's going for the next few years, because it's got funding and it'll definitely be happening for the next few years. You can get to the interview from our podcasts page at dailyinfo.co.uk/podcasts. And the festival goes on, so there's still plenty happening across the city with taster sessions for all ages and abilities. There's also some performances at the Pegasus and also at the newly opened Old Museum space. And from 10 till 4 on Saturday, there's going to be dancing all across the city. So you'll really want to be out and about in town to catch some of the outdoor commissions brought specifically to Oxford, to the site-specific areas. You can find out more on danceinoxford.co.uk, and don't miss out on this awesome festival.
Even more cinema now. This is very closely related to the new writing festival that Jen was talking about that's happening at the BT. This is Oxford Film Fund competition screening. This is where scripts were submitted. The best four were chosen by a judge from within the industry. I don't know what that means, but...
keep it vague, keep it cool.
Then directors and crews from within the university bid to produce the films. They were then lent the equipment, and the results are being screened at the UPP for a guest judge to pick the winner.
Again, keep it vague, keep it cool. Could be someone super big.
Who knows? There'll be two separate screenings on Sunday, 12 p.m. and 1:30 p.m, and it costs £5 and £4 concession. And there's a great chance to see some really varied work from prospective filmmakers. And it's all supported by the BFI, and they're basically short films, so they won't be on too long, and a great chance to see some new work.
Awesome. I've got some more theatre. On this film, I do theatre. So the Watermill in Newbury are staging the very moving 20th century drama written by Arthur Miller, All My Sons. He is one of the best 20th century playwrights, and he's also known for plays like The Death of a Salesman, A View from the Bridge, or The Crucible. Lots of his plays explore the family man and his place within the American dream, so it's very much 20th century ideas. And they get studied a lot in school, so if any of this sounds familiar, it's probably because in English class you were taught about him. And that's just because he constructs beautiful, beautiful drama, and he uses symbolism perfectly. And All My Sons is a play which is set after World War II and deals with the breakup of a family after the loss of their son. It's definitely a play that you want to study, read, or see at least once, if not more, in your life. It's brilliant, brilliant theatre. And you can see it at the Watermill Theatre in Newbury, so just the other side of Oxfordshire. It's on to the 22nd of March, and you can find the dates and times on dailyinfo.co.uk. Back to cinema.
Grand Budapest Hotel is opening on Friday, which is a long-awaited new film from Wes Anderson. The Phoenix have been screening all his retrospective films up until the release of this, and I think there's a couple more this week just before it fully opens. I saw it at the weekend, and it is really good fun. It is just as you would expect from a new Wes Anderson film. It's got all the style, it's just so perfectly constructed aesthetically, such a snappy script, and what a star-studded cast as well. Ralph Fiennes in the lead. You've got Bill Murray, Ed Norton, Willem Dafoe, Saoirse Ronan, Jason Schwartzman, Tilda Swinton, Jude Law, Harvey Keitel, Jeff Goldblum, Adrian Brody, and a whole load of other people. It's set in the 1980s, 1960s, and 1930s. But this film deals with some heavier issues than some of his previous films. Not really surprising for films set in Central Europe in the late 1930s.
Can't really avoid.
Yeah, basically with the spectre of war looming, it's set in this massive cake-like Alpine hotel, but the people are also more interested in the perfect construction of service in this hotel rather than actually what might be coming in the next couple of years. It's really, really funny. The storyline goes off on lots of tangents and twists, but interestingly, you still sort of manage to follow the storyline, which is impressive. I'm a big fan of Wes Anderson's anyway, and I really enjoyed the film.
Super. And that's on Monday at the Phoenix and at The View.
Yes.
And finally, on to our last event on Tuesday night. Puppetry company Blind Summit are performing their award-winning show The Table at Arts at the Old Fire Station on Tuesday. The Table is about a cantankerous puppet called Moses. He is 2 foot high, and he has a head made of cardboard, and he's controlled by three puppeteers. And he tells you a story of life and death whilst the whole time on this table, though apparently he's quite easily distracted as well, which brings in some comedy. It's tabletop philosophy mixed in with a kind of stand-up and also some of the best puppetry you'll see. Blind Summit were the people behind creating the 90-foot-high Voldemort at the Olympics ceremony, amongst other projects. And they just toured the US with the table as well. It was huge in Edinburgh last summer and has been selling out pretty much wherever it goes. So if this sounds like your cup of tea, definitely, definitely book as soon as you can. It might sound a little bit bizarre, it's a kind of strange combination, but they fit together really well, and it's a great show, fantastic reviews, and it's 7:30 at the Old Fire Station next Tuesday.
Cool, well that's it for this week. Tune in next week for more events from the Daily Info Oxcast.
You can also find all the details of the events we've spoken about and any other event in Oxford on our website, dailyinfo.co.uk.
As well as lots of reviews, there's also job ads and accommodation ads, and you can sell your kitten or buy one.
Kitten. You can also follow us on Twitter @DailyInfoOxford and like our Facebook page, just search Daily Info Oxford.